We have been studying through Titus, and tonight we will not continue that study through the book, but we will remain on a subject that we covered in part last week, and that is the subject of hospitality. If you would go there in Titus chapter 1, we are going to focus on that first phrase there, and we're going to look at other instances of hospitality. So tonight is somewhat of a topical message on the subject of being hospitable as God's people. It says here in Titus chapter 1 verse 8 that we, as the man of God is in qualifications of the pastor, he states here he must be a lover of hospitality. And we discussed on what exactly that means for the pastor. And what it means that in order to be an under-shepherd, a leader of the flock, he's got to be a man that loves strangers that come into the church, whether they're guest speakers, whether they're guests from the community, to embrace them, to love them, and to welcome them, not just to the church, but to his home. Invite them into his home, and that's something that I want to practice. And then we took it to the next degree because we do know that God actually commands all his people to be hospitable. But we did cover the qualification first, so we're going to continue in the context of it applying to all of us. Let's begin with prayer. Father, again, just want to commit this message to you tonight. We do ask that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the biblical command is in several instances in the Word of God. I'm just going to read them to you tonight for the sake of time. You can jot them down. But one we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, when Paul gives a line, a paragraph, if you will, many commands of exhortation, an encouragement. One of those was in verse 13 of chapter 12. He says, distributing to the necessity of saints, helping those who are in need. And then he said, given to hospitality, means someone who is open to it, one who is likened to it. And he's talking to all believers there. So that applies to all of us. And then again, the qualifications of the pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, given to hospitality. Titus, the one we just read, a lover of hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, he tells the believers there, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Now, I guess, you know, in many ways, it's, listen, be kind to each other, invite them to your homes, and don't complain about it, okay? Don't complain when they eat all the roast and don't leave anything behind, okay? No leftovers. So-and-so came over and ate everything we had, even back up in the pantry. But no, it's to do it with a kind and gracious and generous heart. And we see that. A verse that we did not discuss last week about hospitality is this. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2, Paul told those believers there, he said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Now that word entertain is not used in the same way we use it today. It's what we talked about last week. It's more of a ministry idea. It's the idea of welcoming them and encouraging them in the Lord in your home. And he goes on to say, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now we might have an angel sitting in our midst this evening. No, I don't think we do. But honestly, we do know that that is a possibility. Whether it be someone, some stranger that walks in this church, or someone you run into out when you're doing your business, about your life's work, and those people that you reach out to show the love of Christ, you never know. That's why I believe God urges us to use hospitality. Now, we do know at the same time, especially in our day and age, that we use discretion. No one is debating that. We ought to use good sense and good judgment when it comes to reaching out to people, especially those that we don't know. I think it is wise. But don't let that keep us from being being hospitable to those that the Lord calls us to. Be not forgetful. To be hospitable is what that verse is saying. We see a couple things here. It is a biblical practice. I'm just going to review these for sake of time. This is, of course, an in-depth study. And I'm not going to be able to cover every instance in the Word of God dealing with hospitality. But in the Old Testament, we find it in the whole oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job. And even Job mentions that. And all his complaints, if you will, and all of those things that, boy, he was just struggling with. And man, you can't imagine what that man experienced when those friends turned on him and the things that he lost. And it was just bad. I mean, real bad. He says one thing that he did not lose in all of that was the gift of hospitality. That's amazing to me. In Job chapter 31 verse 32, Job said, "The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler." Job gave that testimony in chapter 31 verse 32. Even all the things that he was going through, and boy, in a pitiful state, still opened his home to the stranger. Hospitality. You know, God commanded it even as part of the law in the book of Leviticus. It's pretty amazing that God gave the commands there through Moses in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 and 34. He even commanded hospitality there. He said, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him." Don't turn him away. Do not ignore him. "But the stranger that dwelleth with you, shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Isn't that pretty amazing that God puts an emphasis on hospitality that is a representation of himself? You do that because I am the Lord your God. And then we see going through the New Testament, of course, the apostles, Jesus even told them, "Now listen, you're going to be blessed when people show hospitality to you. You don't go, and if they turn you away, you just go your way, shake the dust off your feet, you move ahead, but there will be people that are going to bless you. And you're going to be dependent upon the hospitality of others in the towns that you go into to minister." Jesus himself was dependent upon hospitality. He didn't even have a house. He didn't even have a place to sleep. But the Lord Jesus, our Savior, depended on people bringing him in. As we know that Lazarus and his family and others would bring the Lord in and provide those things for him many times. But the Lord appreciated hospitality, I assure you. And he values it greatly today. I think of people in the New Testament in Acts chapter 16. You can turn there if you want to. I'm going to give two examples very quickly. Acts chapter 16. Look there with me in verse 15. Paul has he's received the Macedonian call. He is gone, and the first one he reaches is Lydia, the seller of purple. And look at her testimony after she gets saved. She got saved because the Lord, we see here that they worshiped God, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And look at verse 15. "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord," what's that next phrase, church? "Come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. I mean, she was somewhat opinionated about this. She's like, "Look, I really believe you ought to be coming to my house. And let me bless you as you have blessed me." And that is what we see here, a picture of hospitality coming from somebody that's been blessed. Now, sometimes we get it turned around, you know, and the way we do things. But honestly, this lady was so excited about what God had done for her. She wanted to be a blessing back. And that's the way we ought to do it too. When we give the gift of hospitality, we're just wanting to be a blessing. And what God has done for us, we just want Him to see to do for others. It's not to show off. It's not to again, entertain in the worldly sense, as we talked about last week. No, it's to be a blessing. Now look at the jailer, somebody else that came to know Christ and showed forth the gift of hospitality. Look at chapter 16, verse 34. So we see in verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. In verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Paul was the recipient of some great hospitality from those new believers. And what an example to each of us that want to have that desire to welcome people into our life. Whether it be members in our own church, in our own congregation, whether it be a guest, first-time guest that walks through that door, whether it be somebody in your workplace or somebody you meet out and about, just here or there, somebody that you can show forth that love. Here in just a second, we're gonna show a video. Her name is Rosaria Butterfield. How many of you have heard or read a book from Rosaria Butterfield? Anybody here? Okay, two of you. Pretty amazing testimony. Of course, she's Presbyterian, and we don't agree, of course, with all of the areas they agree on, believe. But one thing we do agree on, you'll see tonight, and that is the power of hospitality. This is a lady who was very strong, was a very strong and devout lesbian, was a very huge proponent for the LGBT community, and she was determined to attack the validity of the Word of God. But because of the hospitality of a Presbyterian pastor and his wife, she ended up coming to know Christ as her Savior. And the story truly is amazing, and I'll make another couple comments after we see that. But just listen. Again, we wouldn't agree with everything, but one thing's for sure, we do agree with most, and that is the power, number one, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there was an avenue given to the gospel in this testimony, and that was the avenue of hospitality. Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? Just that testimony of that lady. I tell you what, that sister in Christ, what God did in her, and he used people that were just set on loving her as she was and reaching out to her and showing consistent love. But it all began just inviting this lady into their home and talking about Scripture, opening up the Word of God, and just being open for discussion to answer any of the questions, and how much of a blessing that is. And one of the things that stood out to me is that she sensed from day one that she was not looked on as a project, but as a neighbor. And that really stood out to me. And I believe that, you know, as we begin relationships with showing hospitality, whether it's someone who comes into our church, we don't necessarily overwhelm them with all about our church, or not even necessarily with all about the gospel, at least on the initial state, unless God leads that way. Now, they may say, well, what does the gospel mean? Well, duh, you go ahead and share. I mean, that's an open door. But if there, a lot of times when there's no discussion, you're okay with that. And you just want to build a relationship. But this is one of the statements that she made that you heard there yourself, is that, look, you don't have to have all your words perfect. You don't have to have a perfect home. You know, you just need to show up. Just need to be available for God to use that gift of hospitality. I know a good practical question is this: how do we do that, Pastor? Well, I'm going to give a few tips, but let me say this: anyone can do it. I understand there are sometimes situations where your home may not be currently in a place that would facilitate a visitor or a guest for various reasons, and I understand that. But even then, there are opportunities for you and for me to team up with another believer to utilize their home, and you can be a part of that as a team and help bring a dish, help bring a salad or dessert and say, hey, be glad to bring something, and you just team up with another family. Perhaps it could be a situation where some of the families in this church say, you know what, the next time a visitor, first time visitor comes through that door, let's invite them the very next Sunday for lunch and have it right here at the church. I believe that God is moving us to the next level of hospitality. Let me take a moment to commend you. One aspect of hospitality, of course, is the idea of welcoming. And this church hits it out of the park with welcoming our guest and showing forth hospitality. I hear it all the time when they walk through that door. Wow. Your church is so friendly. They came up to us and man, we've been to other churches and they'll greet us at the door. But once we go to our seats, it's like no one's there. But your people, we couldn't even hardly get out because your people were just coming and greeting us and being kind. And I'm like, yep, that's the Creekers right there. And I want to commend you on that. Don't lose that. But folks, I believe God wants us to take it to the next level. I believe that He wants us as a church to take it not only from welcoming here, but I believe He wants us to start welcoming believers and members of this church into our homes and guests that come in here to our homes. I believe that because I believe God wants it that way. How do we do that? Well, number one, you invite. Invite one another. As we mentioned last week, I wonder if there's anyone here that has had another member in your home or has met even here at the church and said, hey, we'd like to bring a meal and meet at the church. Could your family do that? Hospitality. Work together, as I mentioned, to have a meal. Team efforts. Reach out to visitors and let them know, hey, we'd love to either take you out or have you over to our home next week and invite folks over to a meal after church, how far that indeed will go. I like what one author said here, and he mentioned this about hospitality and the strength of it. He said, in a church auditorium, you see the backs of heads, especially if you're sitting in the back. But here's the thing. You see the backs of heads and that's all you see unless you got a good front row seat like these teenage boys up here. But you see the backs of heads, but around the table in your home, you see the expressions on faces. In the auditorium, one person speaks, who's usually the pastor, and around the table, everyone has a voice. There's conversation and talking back and forth, and church services are on the clock. But around the table, there is time to talk. There's a relaxed environment that is given there. I like what he also said. He said, it's no accident that hospitality and hospital come from the same Latin word. For they both lead to the same result. I got this and it stuck with me. Healing. There is healing, folks, when one shows the gift of hospitality. When you open your door to someone, you are sending this message. You matter to me and to God. You may think you are saying, come over for a visit. No, but what your guest hears is this. I'm worth the effort. That is hospitality. That is indeed what God wants us to do. Why? Because it encourages. It glorifies God. God commands it. And anything we do that God commands, I want to tell you, it glorifies Him. It reaches lost people. Like the sister there that came to Christ who otherwise would not have. If somebody just would have taken the time, invited them into her home, even with the lifestyle that she had. And the way she thought about the Bible, those people extended what I see is pure Holy Ghost grace. It just overwhelmed that lady and she could not get away from the fact that these people have loved me and shown me unconditional love. It can greatly help someone in need. I'm reminded of people that are having tough times in life. And let me say this. That's something we ought to be sensitive to as God's people. People in need to reach out, to show hospitality. The young clerk, George C. Bolt, became its first manager. One stormy night, an elderly couple entered the lobby of a small hotel and asked for a room, and the clerk said they were filled. All the hotels in that area were filled to capacity. But this man, this young man, this clerk said to this elderly couple, "But I can't send a fine couple like you out in the rain." He said, "Would you be willing to sleep in my room?" The couple hesitated, but the clerk insisted. He just insisted upon that. And so the next morning when the man paid his bill, he said, "You're the kind of man who should be managing the best hotel in the United States." And he made a comment to this young man, and it was this: "Someday I will build you one." And the young man kind of, something might be wrong with this man, huh? I'm glad he got a good night's rest, but thanks, sir. The clerk smiled politely, but a few years later, the clerk received a letter from the elderly man, recalling that stormy night and asking him to come to New York. A round-trip ticket was enclosed, and when the clerk arrived, his host took him to the corner of 5th Avenue and 34th Street, where stood a magnificent new building. "That," explained the man, "is the hotel I have built for you to manage." That hotel, that man was William Wardolph Astor, and the hotel was the original Waldorf Astoria. Luxury hotel where now it is not uncommon for the presidential suite to go $10,000 a night. Massive hotel. And it all came. This young man got an opportunity to manage this massive, luxurious hotel in the middle of Manhattan, New York City, because he reached out and showed some hospitality. Now listen, I don't know if you're going to own or manage a hotel in New York City one day, but I will tell you this, friend, you never know who you're going to impact for the gospel. You never know what a little love, a little sign, a token of hospitality will show towards someone searching for some encouragement, searching for some hope, some friendship. Many are searching. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the challenge to my own heart as a pastor that, Lord, I must grow in this area. I want to open up my heart and my home to guests, to strangers, people that I don't know real well, to honor them and to show them that they matter, they're cared for. Lord, would you help us to grow in this area? We can only do it by your grace. Lord, that is the only way possible. So, Lord, I'm praying that you would lead us to another Mrs. Butterfield, another lady like this, another man in some other capacity. I don't know, Lord, but would you lead us to people just like that, that need someone to reach out to them and love them? Lord, I do pray and ask these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Well, I trust that...